Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. I'd like to invite you to come and join us for a divine service every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We also meet for Vespers on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come along and join us for worship. I also serve as the vacancy pastor for St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland. They meet each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And if you live in the Glasgow area, why not go pay them a visit? I know that they'd love to see you. Again, if you don't live anywhere near those congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, find the closest congregation to where you live, and go and pay them a visit. I know you'll be blessed by it. I'd also like to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio, for without your prayers and your contributions, we wouldn't be able to carry on this ministry. So we are very, very deeply appreciative to you for your support and your care for us. We welcome back Dr. Asger Christian Hoyland. He is Professor Emeritus at the University of Aarhus in Denmark. He recently presented a paper at the European Lutheran Conference on finding hope in Dr. Martin Luther's writings of 1520. And we are very pleased to continue our conversation. Dr. Hoyland, welcome back.
Thank you.
Last time you gave us a sort of a brief history of events that led up to why Luther wrote his all these things in 1520, and we sort of finished at looking at the view of hope as found in Luther's writings on the Psalms, and how that was contrasted to the view that was held by the Roman Church at that time. Could you maybe give us a brief overview of how they saw hope, where they would find hope, and where Luther differed and contrasted with that?
In brief, you can say that what the contemporary church talked about hope was very much about how you yourself established hope, that you through the life you lived could have this hope also for the future through doing what God commands you to do, and having a well-spent life in the eyes of God, that through that you can have the hope that you can gain, and that means that you do the things which the church requires of you. Go to church, go on a pilgrimage if that is required. Say the prayers which you must say, and giving to the giving of your fortune to the things which need and things like that. And through that you can have your hope. It was a teaching of things being done, of works being done, of your own life, and focusing on your own life. And this is exactly where Luther sets his attack, because this in some way becomes a way of our own efforts. It's our own way of getting through. And through this, you never get to a hope which can last, because these things are human. These things are ours. These things will crumble. Luther has a wonderful picture about this. He uses what Jeremiah says, the place where he talks about the Israelites chewing their own cisterns instead of coming to the wellspring of life, which is God. They are chewing their own cisterns, trying to have the water there, but the water trickles away because there are cracks all over the system. That is how it goes when you build your life on your own efforts and your own lives. The only way is to get to the wellspring of life, God himself.
And you mentioned how Luther emphasized that hope is for all believers, not just, I suppose, the super spiritual. Can you maybe elucidate or help us to understand that a little better too? How every believer can have hope?
Yes, if everybody is to have hope. And that is what the Bible says, and that is what Luther wants to convey to his contemporaries. If that is so, that everybody can have hope, how can they get that? And there is where faith comes into the picture. If it is our own efforts, then only a few can have that hope. But if all can have this hope, it must be based on something else than our own efforts. And if it is based on God, then there is hope for all. And how can it be based on God? That is the main question for Luther. How can our relation, our hopes, be based on God himself? God himself, he is the wellspring of life. We have turned away from him. We can't get to that wellspring. How can we get back to that wellspring? And that is where his teaching of faith comes into the picture. The main thing in these years is teaching of faith to get to God.
And so, how does he tell us that that faith can be had? How can we not, you know, drink of the stale waters of the cistern, but actually come to the living waters? And how does he help us to see that?
The main thing when it comes to how we can get there, and this is not so easy as it sounds, but the main thing is to see God as he is, to meet God as he is. That was what Luther did himself in his discovery of the gospel. To see God as he is. We can't see God. We are, he is hidden to us, to our gaze, but he has made himself known. He has revealed himself. He has built the bridge, which we can't build, by becoming a man, by showing himself through Jesus Christ, so that we really know who he is, drawing us to him through Christ. So it's about seeing God as he is in Christ, to see who he is, and seeing him as the mercy he is in Christ, full of mercy and full of truth in Christ. That is how God is. He's not only the aloof and far away God, as he is. Of course he is, but he has also thread into our world and shown who he is in Christ. So that's the main thing, to see who he is, to meet him, to become aware of his name as we pray in the Our Father, hallowed be thy name. It's about seeing God where he has shown himself through his name in Christ, in his word. And through that, becoming attached to him, becoming drawn to him. So the word, where he gets across to us, that's the main thing when it comes to how faith is to be established. The word and the spirit. Because the spirit is needed. This is a regeneration, really. Because our distance from God, our way of hewing our own systems is so deep-seated in us that if this is to be changed, it must be changed from outside. It must be changed from God, from his word, through his spirit. He must come into us through his spirit with this word as the remedy so that we can see him. That's the main thing, that we just get our gazes fixed on him through this word.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you may interrupt me. That's all
okay.
Right.
I like how you used the lady who had been suffering from the loss of blood for so long and how she comes to Jesus. Is that kind of what Luther is getting at? That kind of meeting with God. Not coming in pomp, but coming in humility, seeking mercy.
Talk louder. I can't hear you.
Sorry. I like how you use the illustration of the woman suffering from a loss of blood for so many years. She comes to Jesus, and she doesn't do so in arrogance, but she does so seeking mercy. Is that the kind of meeting that you're talking about?
I can't hear you, actually. It's very, very far away.
Let me try and prove that a little bit. Just give me a second, John.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Try again, John.
Is this any better, Asghar?
Yes, this is better.
Okay. I like how you use the example of the woman suffering from the loss of blood for so many years who comes to Jesus. She doesn't do so arrogantly, but very humbly seeking mercy, even if I just touch the hem of his garment. Is that the kind of meeting Jesus you're talking about?
Yeah. That's a very good illustration in many ways, because it's an illustration that shows that you can use every effort, every doctor that you can find, and they can't help you. But there is one who can help you, and you come to him, and you just touch him, and you let him touch you just by touching him. It's not about a very strong faith. Of course, there is faith. This is a woman. That's her last hope. So she turns against him, she turns towards him, touches him, and that is her hope. And that is faith. In that woman. That is faith. And through that, things happen.
In our society today, we seem to be suffering from a crumbling loss of hope. How can you encourage us, like that woman, to find hope? Where can we go to find hope? How would you speak to someone in our audience who seems to have lost all hope? How would you encourage them and console them, as maybe Luther did his folks of his day?
I think that also today, I think the key to having hope today is to be reminded of this God who is there, but we don't see him, but who gets across to us through this very simple and direct word which we have about Jesus and about who he is. I think that is the key also to our life, to my life, actually. Every day to be reminded that it's not me it's all about. Things can crumble for me too. But if I can just turn away a little from my own efforts, from my own doings, from all that I must do, and be reminded that God is there, and that God is the one who comes to us directly in his word, that if we have problems by hearing him, we can go to the church. We should go to the church because we need to hear it. We need it to be handed to us, not only something which we do ourselves by meditating and going deep into ourselves. That can be a hard way. But coming and hearing and receiving just as it is, that's also today, I think, the main thing we can do. You can do it in church. You can do it at home. You can do it at home just by being quiet and looking into your Bible, reading the Gospels, seeing who God is through what you read in the Gospels, reading a hymn if you have a hymn book by you, saying Our Father, everybody knows that prayer, and meditating on it from the beginning, just as Luther actually teaches us in his small catechism, meditating on the first words, Our Father. Meditating on Father, God who names himself a Father, our Father, who is in heaven. That's true. He's not just easy to see, but he is there and he has power. And he is our Father who loves his children. And then going through the prayers of our Father from the first one, Thy name be hallowed. In my life just now, not my life name, but down thy name be hallowed. It's there which I have my wellspring for my life just this day, facing the things which I do in my life. And that way, turning you away from all what you must do and what also crumble in your life to the one who is there and stays there and is there always.
So in our world today, when people hear the word hope, it doesn't sound like the hope you're talking about. I mean, when we hear the word hope, we maybe hope our football team wins, or we hope we get pizza for dinner tonight. It's a wish, but it doesn't sound like you're talking about a wish at all. It sounds like what you have in mind and what Luther has in mind is far more than just a wish. So how can we convey that to people of our own time, that hope isn't just a wish, it's certainty?
Well, that's a job not only for me, but for all of us. So I can only say some very limited things which I can see. But I think that people today maybe also have a notion that these daily life's hopes, maybe superficial hopes, only are superficial, that they are on the surface of things. That we need something which goes deeper than that, something which we can build our lives on. We can't build our lives on that our football teams will win. We can't build our lives on even that we will be invited to that dinner, to our children, even that, if that's very important to us. There is something which goes deeper than that. There is a foundation which is more important to our lives than that. So maybe we have an access to a notion of hope being something more important, something much deeper than this. Of course, also these daily things are important, and we can pray for them too. The main way of living in faith is prayer. In prayer, you are reminded that God really is there and helps you also in the daily life. So, of course, daily life things matter. But if you can connect the daily life to God through prayer and being reminded there through that things also go deeper than that.
And I also really like in your paper that you kind of conclude it by noting that Luther is a realist, that even Christians who have hope, who have the assurance of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, that life isn't always going to go, hunky-dory for them, that we are going to have troubles, that we are going to fail. But even in the midst of our failure, can we still have hope? Even when we mess up, can we still have hope? Does God still love us?
Exactly. That's a very important thing today, also in the Christian world, because exactly on that area, there are differences between us Christians, you must say. And there are too many Christians who connect hope and Christianity with success in life. There we must really learn from the Bible. And Luther has done much to learn us that as Christians, we don't always succeed in our lives, but that is not the main thing for us, that we succeed. The main thing is that we have come near to God, that we can draw near to God, and that we, in the midst of also things which go against us, things which don't, where we don't succeed, that we just exactly there have the access to God and the nearness to God, which is the main thing for us and which is the most important thing for us. We are not the ones who are in the center of reality. God is in the center of reality. We are the brothers and sisters of Christ who went through death to life. We are on the same way through death to life with him. And that's the main thing.
And you use a quote from Luther very, very near the end of your paper, and it finishes by, even when we fail, we prevail, which I think is very provocative. How can we witness to this hope when the world looks on and says, you Christians, you're not successful. The church is failing. The church seems to be dying. And you seem to be failing. How can we still assure the onlooking world that we have hope? And that hope is real, that hope is genuine and true and trustworthy.
That's a very good question. I think that the most important witness that Christians can give to the world around them is not to be dejected about these things, but have faith in God also when things are hard, and that people sense and feel that we as Christians don't lose hope as they maybe do, confronted with things which they experience. Also, that we in that way also can carry through with love to our neighbors, even if we are the smaller ones, even if we are on the loser's team, we're not dejected. We carry on. We love our neighbors. We bear witness about the God who is there through that, I think. And this witness will be much stronger than if we were successful, had the power and things like that. I think that the witness we can give as the loving people who love in the midst of sufferings and what seems as failure, that is really something which is strange and which may capture the people's they see something which they don't see normally, and through that they may be get a sight of God.
Yeah. And you talk, and you really do conclude the paper, or the paper you gave to us, and you mention that with this hope in Christ, Luther says, we can do all, and in this trust in the grace of God, we can do all in Christ. Now, you know, he's not talking about maybe lifting, 500 kilos or anything like that. But what is he talking about there when he says, we, the Christians, the average Christian, can do all in Christ because we have that hope in Christ?
If we have that hope, if we cling to Christ in our lives, it's not about us. It's not about our doing. It's about being confident that God is the one who is acting. He is the one who is doing. We put our confidence in God, or we lay our lives in His hands, and through that we can go freely and act not with a big burden on our shoulders that we are the ones who are going to make things happen. But God is the one who is going to make things happen. And we are just doing our little part of the job. We are very confident that God will do what He does and always has done.
We live in a world which is, I think, at quite a low ebb in our time, or at least my lifetime, in the midst of pandemic, where we have become very, very aware how fragile our existence is. Fear, terror, it just seems to paralyze so many. Even in the church, can you, again, I suppose as we draw near to the conclusion of our program today, can you speak some consolation, some hope to this situation in which we find ourselves? How can we really trust God's word, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of potential, financial crisis, world at war? How can we find hope in the midst of all of this despair?
We are to be there as the loving neighbors. We are to help those who are dejected. we are to help with the practical things which all this confronts us with. We are to do as the Christians did in the early church when the sickness and the plague came to the towns there, when everybody else fled, the Christians stayed, or some of them at least stayed, and were there together with the neighbors. They were not losing their hopes as everybody else did, because they have a hope which goes further than this life, and they have a nearness to God which makes it possible for them to make the possible for them to be there. And I think some of the same thing we should do today. We should not look down on people because of their lack of hope. And we should feel with them, and we should take it seriously what we are faced with. But at the same time, we shall never think that this is what makes the world end. Not at all. God has the world in his hands. He knows when the last day will be. This is something which we are opposed with now. We are faced with now, which we have to fight with now, and do our job and be and do it in a serious and good way, and be a part of the society and be have solidarity with it. But we should do it as those who have faith. And faith in this time is to believe in God, that he has also this situation in his hands, and that he knows how to lead us through.
I like how you say hope beyond death. I think that is a lovely thought. Before we let you go, Dr. Hoyland, can you tell us a little bit about your teaching, your career at the University of Aarhus in Denmark? Can you tell us what you do and perhaps again some of the training that you've been involved in?
First, I must say I have not been a teacher at the university in Aarhus in Denmark. I have been a professor. I'm now retired at something called the Lutheran School of Theology in Aarhus, which is a free institution, but which trains pastors for the Danish Lutheran Church too. We have the possibility here in Denmark that some of our students can have out good part of their training at our school for the bachelor part of it at our school, and then can conclude it with 2 years at the university and have a master's degree there. So that's where I have been teaching all my life since 79, and I was finished with my studies. And I have been studying Luther for a good deal of this time. I made my thesis on Luther and his writings, especially those from the 20s or the 1920s and 21, about righteousness by faith and some aspects of that. But through my career as a professor, Luther has, and his writing also, mean a lot in our teaching of the students. We teach and read Luther writings together, and it has been my goal to make them see that also a theology which is so distant in time really has so much life in it. So that has been very much of my life until now.
Well, thank you for indeed showing us that life in Luther's theology, even back in 15, 19, 20, and 21, and how it does shed rays of hope into our existence, even in the 21st century. Dr. Hoyland, we thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time and your thoughts. Again, thank you for helping us find hope in our time through the writings of Luther. And we wish you every success with your continued teaching and research. And thank you again for being with us on Lutheran Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.